You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey now, welcome back to the Wake Up Tucson show. Christopher D. Simone and you fine, super terrific listeners known as the legendary Wakeys. So, best damn audience I've ever seen. Generous, loyal, fiery.
Fiery temper, just like the Badger.
No, that's true. Know how to party correctly. We got a party coming up October 29th. Que bonita. Can't wait for you guys to join us. It'll be a hoot and a holler. Please let me know you're coming at wakeuptucsoncomments@gmail.com. Very important that we let Peggy from Nature Spa and Carmen from Que Bonita know how many of you fine people are coming. So can't wait to see all of you. I talked to Anna Clark from the Republican Party. I think we're down to 25 to 30 tickets for the Lincoln Day dinner. So, out of 500. So, this is your chance if you want to see Bannon, Biggs, and DeSimone on the same stage, which is a horrible thing for some people out there. Please join us. So, we got a big, big shoe today. It's a Ruben Gallego hump day. Hump day. I like how he's, quote, the front runner to go against Sinema in the primary. That's what they're hoping is Ruben Gallego is going to be the guy who's going to take her out in a senatorial primary.
So the progressives want to eat their own, as they say.
Well, that's what they do.
Yeah,
they eat us and their own.
And
they're omnivores.
Right. Omnivores. Well,
oh, let's go to our science and data team. Is that the right term, omnivore? Look at me. Look at the big brain on Chris. Look at that. So we got Dan Shearer at the bottom of the hour. We got two Pima County things I want to talk about with Dan. We're going to talk about this idea of getting rid of the constables or a couple of the constables and replacing them with employees instead of elected officials. And according to the memo, it comes from something him and Napier worked on together. So we'll talk about that. Then, the various suggestions for vaccinated employees. We'll talk about that. And then there's just a classic one about, it looks like a, let me read the headline. Dan's going to laugh when I hear this, when I read this. It's, now Halloween's on its way a bit early for some. So please, when we get there, is it a story of someone complaining to, Dan? These pumpkins and crap are up too early.
There was candy in the store in August. Dan, do something about that.
These candy corns. We're going to talk about how supply chain madness is going to affect your holiday shopping, which is just great.
Joe Biden stole Christmas.
Perfect. I'm there. You had me at hello. After tense negotiations between the Wake Up Tucson team and the Lugo Charities team, which means we texted each other, Bike in the Box Marathon is Wednesday, November 19th. So, it's like the Masters, a tradition like any other, unlike any other.
Need to get Nance to record a sounder for you.
Just by saying that, CBS is going to come sue me. So just by using that line. So I'm sure Bud Foster from the CBS affiliate is going to rat me out. Oh, I feel like there's been an unauthorized usage of the Masters tagline. Bud Foster, live local, not so late breaking. Live local and what Huckleberry gave put on a memo. A little spicy today. This is Filthy Pirate Coffee with the cold weather. I feel like I'm a little extra exhilarated this morning. So We got to do the a little prop 206. We have some lady named Rachel Cummings who knows nothing about anything saying why she's a yes. And what's great about it is all emotion. It's just some of the lines in this are just magical. Just magical. I can't find anyone to write an op-ed on our side on a no. It's amazing. Like I said, Taylor Davidson, just go write an op-ed for God's sakes. I think you already wrote one. Just send it. Smart, one of the smartest guys in the room. Make it happen. We also have, let's see, Brad from Solidarity, Jorge Rivas, who's running for governor of Arizona. You guys know him from Sammy's Mexican Grill up in Catalina. And, of course, catching a lot of crap for his support for President Trump. So he will be here at 7:15, and we'll do a couple of segments with Jorge. And then, as John C. said, Ray Allen laughed. I did my John C. For the promo. Richard Studwell, man about in City Insider, worked at the city finance department during the Carter administration and now an infill developer. We love Richard, so he'll be here. We're going to cover a whole bunch of stuff. We're going to talk about those alternative dwelling units that some out there think are the greatest thing since sliced bread. Now, we don't say sliced white bread anymore. That's racist. So it's white supremacy in the bread world. So we're going to do that. Also, the other thing with Dan Shears at 6:30. Dan is also, we also booked a renewal. It's coming up later. The 1 hour state of journalism thing. So he's going to come in and do that. Probably, I think it's the last Wednesday of this month. We're going to do that. What else do we got? We got the state of homelessness in Pima County. That's a Taja Davis story. We're going to cover a John Stossel video. It's about 5 minutes. It's called End COVID Repression, Let Life Resume. We'll probably play that today. What else do we got here today? Well, Southwest Airlines. Walgreens closing 5 more San Francisco locations because they keep getting ripped off. So we're going to do that. The toy shortage. We're going to talk about that. You know how the Let's Go Brandon thing, right? And all these people in football stadiums are screaming F Joe Biden, right? Nothing made me even better. F Joe Biden goes global, protesters shout in Rome now. So now I got the Goombas in the streets of Rome. F a Joe Biden, right? They're doing that. You do the thumb and the teeth. You also do this, you got to do this one. You do the hand flick on the chin for also express that. Now, what you'll learn, what I learned as a young man growing up in New York, right, with that, the hand flick over underneath the chin, right, out towards the person that you want to insult, right, is the younger you are, the more movement there is, right? So if we were going to measure from the start of the flick to the, it's longer, right? The older, really short. They just go. They just give you like, it's like a half an inch. They go, eh. That's serious. That's like, you know, when the old ladies give you the stink eye or the evil eye, right? It's like that, but they give, it's like a little, it's about a half an inch. They go, eh. I have such contempt for you. I'm not going to waste the energy.
You're not even worth the energy.
But I do want to make the motion and go, so we got that going for us. And also this whole idea of people who don't want to work, right? We'll do that when we come back. We'll talk about how many people quit their jobs on the August job report, right? But then we'll also talk about, I'm going to give you this city of gastronomy thing that we have supposedly going on around here. It's hard to be a city of gastronomy if one of the largest food service supply companies, who's located 110 miles north of here, is not, because of employee problems, is not delivering to anyone in Tucson. Do you think this will make your sandwich cheaper or more expensive?
So for your $15 an hour, you better be able to entertain as well, because there may not be food coming out of the kitchen.
I mean, in the end, right? All you're doing. Well, let's talk about it. I have a friend of mine, someone that Matt and I know very well. I'll tell him who it is off air, who literally told me he's done going out to eat in Tucson. And I won't say who it is, but I'm going to tell him and he'll laugh when I tell him. But it's someone that literally is a longtime Tucsonan. Like someone who's he's bought into. I mean, he's an enthusiastic supporter of local restaurants. And him and his missus go out. We'll explain when we come back. All right. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 of the Voice, local news and talk, Notorious ESQ. This is what Tucson runs on. That sweet emotion. That's about it. So, well, look at that. You got the Mariah. We got the So Emotional by Whitney Houston. We can do that one. We got it all. Wake Up Tucson. Feelings, that bad 70s gold one. Who's that? I forgot. Come on, you got to know. Feelings.
I'm drawing a blank.
Oh! It's like Costanza when he had to come up with a lie. I'm digging deep, Jerry. I got nothing.
I blocked it.
Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 of the Voice. Do you know that if Mariah Carey did a great four-piece jazz, like little combo of standards with her voice, she'd sell a zillion records? I mean, if look how many albums Rod Stewart's sounding like he's dying singing those standards. But her voice is still amazing. So, all right, we're talking about supply line madness, which has to do with a lot of bad things. And a lot of it has to do with, well, this is, you know, when you say strategic threat to America is having anything come through California is a problem. You remember when they were talking about doing a deep port in Mexico? That was remember the deep sea port down in Guaymas? And they were talking about, well, geez, all those people. I think Al Melvin was one of those guys, too, that wanted to do a deep sea port and start and take the pressure and have someplace else to go other than Long Beach in L.A., right? And, well, they look like geniuses. So one of our Wednesday, November 17th is the Bike in the Box Marathon. Wednesday, November 17th, it's a Wednesday. So from 6 to 9, we're going to rock it out. So now, a caller asked for clarification, so that's why. This is what we do. This is the kind of unprofessional radio. I just interrupt myself. Now, so one of the longtime restaurant owner in this town said, hit me with a message overnight. So it's not hard enough in this town already, but Sysco canceled all Tucson deliveries this week to restaurants because they can't staff their warehouse. Less than 12-hour notice with a quote, sorry, but no deliveries to anyone this week in Tucson. So Sysco Foods has now blacked out Tucson as a place they're delivering. So then our good friend Chef John Hone from Gap Ministries put this on his Facebook. When he saw this, he put, sorry, children, no food for you. He goes, I was not updated. He says, so he got, hi, John. This is from his sales consultant for the desert region, Arizona. I will not be able to send your order tomorrow. I am hopeful it will be delivered on Wednesday, but we'll update you again tomorrow. So I guess that was Monday. Anyway, he said, I've still not been updated by Sysco. So Sysco Foods, I don't know how much food they're delivering to Tucson, but it's got to be a buttload. That is the imperial system. Okay, like a hogshead. Buttload. Food supplies to Tucson restaurants. And so at that point, right, you're scrambling to see what Shamrock has, what Restaurant Depot has. And then, of course, you know what that does? When they know there's a competitor who's not serving you this week, what do? They jack up their prices. So a friend of mine, one of you has already guessed who it is, who's a big believer in the Tucson food scene, said, hey, we were talking yesterday. He goes, man, I got to start cooking more. I said, what do you mean? He goes, I don't want to go to Tucson restaurants anymore. I said, why is that? He goes, Okay. Things are expensive as hell now, more than ever, right? He mentioned at one of the places they had the market price sticker on the appetizer chicken wing dish.
That was like a joke like 2 or 3 months ago that I was trying to tell people, and it's become reality.
So a friend of mine was at the Rosati's pizza on Ina and Shannon about 2-3 weeks ago, and he sent me the picture. They actually had the market price sticker on where wings are, which, of course, in the old days was always, you know, my parents would take me and Joe to a place called the Schooner. It was on the South Shore. The South Shore, Long Island, right on the water, great seafood. So if you wanted a lobster, it had the old MP on it, right? Market price. Variable with what's going on with supply and demand. So now, and you see it with other seafood, right? Halibut and different things like that, right? So we now have, things are so crazy in the chicken wing world, we're literally doing market price on chicken wings. So what my friend's saying, look, it's expensive as heck, but because of a lack of employees, like him and his wife, like, oh, yeah, we got it. We'll have a beer while we're waiting to get our food. It took 40 minutes to get a beer. So let's sneak one of my favorite men on the planet, Sean Funds, on the line. Sean, he can say South Shore or Long Island better than I can, but good morning, sir. You got about a minute and a half.
I can do it in less. Listen, I'm tired of being pushed around by all these bullies on the block who have either produce or power to tell us what they're going to do. You know what, Chris? Competition made this country. Have other mom and pops and other grocery chains fill the gap. Screw these people. I'm tired of this stuff.
So when you say screw these people, you mean the Cisco people or the employees that don't work at Cisco anymore?
Well, if Cisco's going to make a decision for their employees that they're going to reduce their amount of revenue coming in to employ people, that's their business. But as far as having a producer that supplies this area as far as food goes, that's also their choice. And we live in a society that thrives on capitalism, hopefully still, and people will come out of the woodwork and fill the gap. That's what my message is, fill the gap.
Amen, Brother Sean. Have a super day, my friend.
You too.
All right. When we come back, Dan Shearer, Green Valley News. Lots of stuff to cover with Dan. So Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice. All right. Welcome back to the Wake Up Tucson show. When you hear our friend Marty Robbins, that means our other friend Dan Shearer is calling up from the Valley of Greenness. Dan, welcome aboard, sir.
Oh, you haven't been reading our paper if you think we're the Valley of Greenness, man. We got a grass seed shortage.
Oh my!
Among other things, we had been hearing from some of our golf courses that things are getting brown over here, and turns out indeed there is a grass seed shortage. It's drawn from several things, weather conditions in some of the seed producing states, and some of those farmers who once produced grass seed have moved on to other crops, labor shortage, trucking issues, all the things we're hearing now. And so the golf courses, and then we even talked to the town of Sarita, and of course all their parks, and there's a shortage, and if they can get it, they're paying almost double for it. So the supply and labor shortage are hitting everything.
It's amazing how after just the, even during Rona, right? How
right.
Things were, you know, what things were doing, how in just 8 months, I know you don't want to get political, but of this moron running the government, that everything has just, the idea that we don't have the supply chain so broken is kind of pathetic.
It is strange, and I remember, 20, 25 years ago when supply chain management was like the degree to get
right.
In college. It was the one to study, and it was the whole thing was let's do away with warehouses and let's bring the product directly from the ship right to the store and all of that type of stuff. And it's a very, very intriguing idea and very interesting to watch it play out. But it apparently doesn't take much, you know, of a hiccup for the whole thing just to be upended. So that's what we're seeing right now.
I got a couple of not so serious stories. We'll save those for the second segment, but let's get to Huckleberry sends
it. So here's how.
Look at me
work.
Being nicer than you.
Bing it. And so here's how.
Look at me
work.
Being nicer than you.
I imagine that. Well, I read the memo. And I've read more than just the memo, too. And so, you know, Matt Hines actually floated this idea in a supervisor meeting not long ago where he basically said, I don't understand what constables do. Let's just get rid of them. Because, you know, that's what we should do when we don't understand things, not try to understand them, but actually just get rid of them. So this, apparently, Huckleberry has taken this idea and run with it, though I suspect he has thought about it in the past. So here's how things are. We have 10 justice courts, and they handle the low-level stuff, you know, traffic fines and shoplifting, and they do things like, you know, subpoenas and injunctions against harassment, you know, orders of protection and whatever. So the judge makes a decision, and then for each of those 10 courts, there is one constable for each court. So the constables, the judge makes a decision, the constable carries out the will of the court, which often means delivering paperwork, and that roughly is what a constable does. So what they, if you go look at this system, he lays out in his memo that it's really broken, and he is correct, and here's the reason. Constables are elected, meaning that they have an oversight board on the state level, but pretty much their boss is you and me, the voter. And so the problem is that they aren't really collaborating well. Some are doing a lot more work than others, and they have different philosophies. This is key. They have different philosophies on how things should be carried out. And I'll give you an example of that. We currently have one constable who is suspended until the end of the year. Why? Well, because when he went to go evict somebody from a property, he told them, you know what, you can have a little bit of extra time. I'll help you find a place, and everything will be nice. Well, everything's nice except for the property owner who's been trying to get that deadbeat out of there for quite a while. And remember, if you're being tossed off your property, you're being evicted, you've been told multiple times.
Well, it's a public record. Who's the constable?
Let me get his name. I will get his name.
Okay.
It's in our story. It's in our story.
All right, I'll look it up.
Yeah. So he's dumped. Suspended till the end of the year. But again, this is the philosophy. Some of them say, look, I'm going to go in there and I'm going to vacate the property. That's my job, okay, as a constable. Others are like, you know, let's bring in some social services. Let's make sure that they know what's available to them. I'm all for that, by the way, until you get to that final point. How many chances are you going to give somebody? Again, by the time the constable shows up to get your stuff out of the house, you have been warned many, many times. And so this is where the philosophical difference is. Here's what I think is going on, is that what Pima County wants to do is to get rid of all of the constables and replace them with county workers who now they can manage much more tightly. And that's exactly what would happen. One, they would pay them a lot less. A constable, the top end, and all of them are getting it, is $67,000 a year. They would bump them down. But the more important thing is that Pima County now could, in essence, inject its philosophy into a lot of these decisions on how the court's paperwork is carried out. They shouldn't be allowed to, because when the court makes a decision, it makes a decision that the order of protection, whatever, the eviction, the warrant, the order of protection, whatever, the eviction, you just do it. But there is some wiggle room in there, and that's what we've been seeing. So this is my suspicion. But I will say this, the memo does paint a picture of this constable system really being unorganized, chaotic, a lot of infighting, and it is accurate. That is accurate.
We've Oscar, known that Matt found that Oscar Vasquez.
Yeah, Oscar Vasquez. Yeah, that's right.
So because we hang out with McCluskey, and he has 900 rentals, and 900 to 1,000 rentals he has to manage, he's run into, I don't guess Vasquez is a problem, but of course, the one who's buddies with all the Democrats is Kristen Randall, right?
Well,
and she's the one who doesn't want to evict people either.
Well, but I liked what she did, where she instituted this program that that when someone is initially targeted for eviction, they do get in there with some services and let them know, look, here are your options. I'm all for that. But that is as the process is working its way through, because there are a lot of people out there who just don't know that, yeah, there is help available. But in the end, when it's like, okay, it's moving day, you have to stop it at that point. I think Kristen Randall does understand that, but here's
Sean talks about how she doesn't show up for, like, she's supposed to be there. I think it's her. Sure. Hey, they do that, and they don't show up, or they're amazing. Yeah. Like, they don't, you know, like, they're the ones who are really late. Oh, I'm sorry you didn't wait an hour, you know? The lack of professionalism is...
Well, and they're not accountable to anybody. And you hit on another one of the problems, and the problem is that, let's say, Kristen has a certain philosophy on evictions, and she's on vacation, or she's overwhelmed with other work. She doesn't want one of the hard-nosed constables to be delivering her papers. And so it will stack up or back up or whatever until she can find someone. She doesn't. That's where the collaboration problem is. And so it's really interesting, because for those of us on the outside, we look at it and we say, the judge tells you to do something, you do something. What's so hard about that? Well, again, there's that wiggle room. And then ultimately, and as Chuck has identified, they answer to the voter. If we don't like it, we can vote them out next time. Now, you tell me, what is farther down and more gets less thought on a ballot than a constable?
Well, again, it's really like it's a six or half dozen, because working for Huckleberry, there's no justice either, okay? All right? I mean, the guy runs the most inefficient bureaucracy in the southwestern United States.
Well, I'll tell you this.
Well, sorry, city of Tucson.
Something has to be done. But I don't know that this is the answer to it. It's a big, big move. And now, so where all of this stands right now, and of course, remember, Huckleberry comes up with the idea, but the Board of Supervisors actually makes the decision. So he's not deciding this. This isn't happening. This is just a memo saying, hey, here's what we're thinking. In the memo is a review by Mark Napier, who now is now an assistant county manager, and he's the one who kind of dug into this whole thing and said, okay, here's what the problem is, and here's how we might want to handle it. But number one is that they have to go to County Attorney Laura Conover and say, look, can we just go in and decide that we're not going to have constables anymore, get rid of this elected office? Obviously, you have to allow everybody to work out their terms who are elected to those. So this is still,
well, the other thing is, if you're Kristen Randall, who's the darling of the left, right, in the PMIC Democrat Party, right, can she convince three votes not to go with this? And that's possible too.
Yeah, I guess.
Because I'm sure she loves being rubber stamped into this job. And that, would you rather be rubber stamped by an election that no one really cares about, but they'll just keep voting in, or actually work for Huckleberry? I mean, for Huckleberry, I'd rather shove bamboo shoots underneath my fingernails.
Well, there is a presiding constable, can't remember his name either, and I don't think he's actually in our story.
Stevenson.
Pertinent. Yeah, Stevenson. Okay, so he has tried to fix this, and that's in the memo also. He has tried to fix this, and by the way, we have attached the memo to our story. He's tried to fix this, and Napier just says it's just too little too late. And so they would not even listen to the guy within their own ranks who was trying to corral them and basically hold off the county from making a decision like this. And so it's really bad, and really it's funny how Napier sets it up. He says, you know, I have the real rigid constable, who a lot of them are former law enforcement, then you have those who dress like urban social workers, is the way that he worded it. It's kind of funny in that memo.
That's so perfect.
It is. It's really got some very telling things, particularly for those of us who have known that there has been a big problem in there for the last couple of years.
Before we go to break, it also warmed the cockles of my heart in the third sentence of Napier's memo. Thank Jesus they submitted the memo to Nicole Fife and, oh, Lisa Royal. She's still around.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank Jesus.
The gift that keeps giving. Yeah. Don't get me going, you know.
I know. So let's do this. I was going to talk, when we come back, I want to talk about a couple of other stories. I want to talk about the Culver's story. I think is a nice story you guys did. I want to do some town news with you instead of this Pima County crap, okay?
Sounds good.
Let's do that when we come back. We got the great Dan Shearer's on the phone, 790-2040. We got our friend Brad from Solidarity Health coming up at the top of the hour, followed by Jorge Rivas running for state of Arizona governor, followed by Richard Studwell. Wake up, Tucson, 10:30 voice. All right, a little custard pie by Led Zeppelin. A custard pie franchise is going to be opening up in Sarita very, very soon.
We wish. We'll take anything, though.
What's in the pipeline, as they say, in the restaurant world? Anything coming up in that area?
You know, the EG's is still under construction. It seems like they're putting on one board a week, but it's happening. At least it's going up and it's not coming down. So there's that, and then we have a Mr. Car Wash coming that is going up on a little piece of land. It's on a really busy corner that that piece of land sold for $1.25 million. So that's that was a little chunk of change for this area down here. So that's coming, and then lots and lots of rumors, but tons and tons of homes going up. It's just it's something to behold, I have to tell you.
How? Tell me about the I love saying this word, the almost better than Kitty Batmula. Tell me about the incubator that no one actually, the Sarita incubator, thing that no one's actually in. How's that going?
We have rented a place
in there.
We got its first rental about a month ago, and it is a solar panel manufacturing business, and they're going to bring on about an extra 15 people, and I don't think it's quite what they wanted, but they do want light industry, and I guess it qualifies as that. But it's a Tucson operation that's going to bring the building part down here. So they rented about a fourth of it. I think it's 32,000 square feet. I think they got eight to ten, and they're building it out right now. So that's something. It's a start.
Two things. One, so far, how long has this thing been open for business? The town of Sarita having this thing to have companies come in?
About a year.
All right. It's a mild loser right now is what we'd call it.
Well, it's not going to be much of a loser to us since they use grant money, and so to build most of it. So what we did is we contacted the people who gave them the grant, which was the feds for the most part, and said, look, they're supposed to have X number of employees by this amount of time, and they don't. What's the deal? And they said, yeah, you know, that's a little squishy, you know. In other words,
still taxpayer dollars.
It's up. What are we going to do about it is really what it amounts to. And then a couple months later, they did announce that they at least have this in. So they're rolling on. It's a beautiful building, and it's a great place to start a business if you want to come on down here, light industry, light manufacturing.
So what I want to know is, is this a headline? Tucson business escapes Tucson to Sarita? Is that a headline? Is that accurate?
That's the goal. Here's the problem is we do have some of those buildings down, those businesses down here now, but when they have to go to Tucson to go get up some parts or to pick up something or whatever, it tends to be a half day thing. And there goes an employee for a half a day just because you have to drive to Tucson to go buy something. And that has been kind of a knock on moving to some of these outlying areas.
But according to statistics, you have a 47.7% reduction in the chance of being robbed. So that also kind of balances out.
That's a low number. But it's also a great place to live, and you have a terrific, very well-educated workforce down here. And in case you do business with Mexico, we're not very far. So,
all right, so here's my other one. So I see in your paper this story about Halloween's here, but for some it's too early. Is this grouchy seniors complaining about spooky things on the front lawns? What's going on?
No. I think the point of it was that people are so excited to get back out and about that they started decorating, like, you know, mid to early September. So they're into it, and they're eager to get back out. And so here's going to be the big battle this Halloween, is that Halloween is on Sunday. And so do you go out on Saturday the 30th, or do you take your kids out on Sunday the 31st, which, of course, is a work night, and it's a Sunday, which for a lot of people, you don't do things on Sunday.
Let me lay it out for you. I'm going to do it right now for everybody.
I know exactly.
You show up on Sunday night. You show up at my house on a Saturday, you're going to get the hose. That's what's going to go on. All right.
Well, we have a person down here who's collecting addresses for Saturday nights, and basically you can go to those addresses on Saturday and go to the other ones on Sunday. So, you know, you can do a twofer if you're up for it. But I grew up in Mesa, which was heavily Mormon. It was never even a question. Nothing was done on Sundays. They barely let you breathe. And so so it was always a Saturday thing. But I think for most people it's going to default to the 31st. Just stay with the holiday if you don't know what to do exactly. So if I could slip in one thing,
please,
because I got several calls from your listeners about a month ago.
What did I do now?
No, after I mentioned that we had talked about the pecan factory down here is closing its processing plant, moving it to Georgia, 130 people out of work, and I said they are putting together a job fair. I just got note late last night that the job fair will be December 2nd. A lot of your people called and said, look, we want in on that. Our business is looking for people. So you can call the pecan company, FICO is what it's called locally and legally, and ask for Margarita. That'll be easy to remember. She's putting the whole thing together, but again, it's on December 2nd. It's just for those 130 workers. It is not an open job fair, but if you're a business and you want in, they would like to hear from you.
Absolutely.
That's the way to do it. So I'm glad they put this together, and we look forward to helping these folks find meaningful work and stay in our area.
Look at you. Look at you contributing to society.
It was an accident. But trust me, I get accused of a lot more things. But we are going to be talking about those things when we discuss journalism coming up, which I'm looking forward to here in a couple of weeks.
There's a lot of stuff that's happened in between our sessions here, so...
Oh, my goodness. And I'll give you a real quick one. Do you have like 30 seconds?
We do.
If you go to our website, we have something, you know, you have the green bar across the top, news and obits and everything. And if you look at, there's something called 5 minutes. And so print journalists are ugly and we talk too much. That's why we don't do TV. But if you click on that, this is our attempt to do TV, to explain issues and to give you the background and stories we've covered. We've done 4 of them so far. Basically, it's point and shoot with a camera. And no editing. We're gonna professionalize it a little bit, you know, with some lower thirds like the TV people and everything do. But right now, it is just getting information out to the community in a different platform, which is video. And so we're working hard to kind of get our act together on that. But we've launched it, and go take a look.
Look at Dan Shearer on redistricting with his salmon colored golf shirt, looking sexy.
And a plant growing out of my head.
That's true.
as several people pointed out.
All right, sir. Good talking to you. I'll talk to you soon.
Very good. Thanks.
Later, bud.